y'all. Welcome back to season two of the Student Voice Podcast. I'm Anissa. My pronouns are she, her.
I'm Shoda. My pronouns are he, him.
Hey guys, I'm Veronica. I go by all pronouns. So now that we all introduced ourselves, let's go through some icebreakers. Mm-hmm. So today's icebreaker is just to tell one interesting fact about yourself. So I guess I'll go first because I'm already talking. So I have an obsession with stickers. It is so bad. It is really bad for my wallet, but I literally buy stickers all the time. I'll show you guys, but our viewers can't see. I literally bought stickers from Michael's. It was 10 bucks, but it was so worth it. They're so cute. And then I covered my phone case in stickers.
Oh my gosh. Looks so cool.
Just obsessed with stickers. It's so bad. I'm like a 7-year-old, but this is my wallet, by the way. Look at that, full of stickers. Let's Whoa. Go. Okay, well, that's my fact.
I mean, like, if I could turn around my camera or just show listeners my laptop, it is just decked out in stickers, so I completely feel that. Interesting fact about me, I would say,
it's a good question. Your social security number.
Here's my social.
Here's the pin on the back of your credit card. That's an interesting fact.
Oh, number.
Give you all my whole phone address and all my passwords.
Yes, please.
Oh my gosh, wait. You know what? So I know everyone has a quarantine hobby thing that they picked up or like something new that they did. I learned how to sew with a sewing machine. So I brought a couple masks to college that I have my own mask that I sewed and, like I guess it'd be, no, it's just like stitching of like my initials on it. So pretty neat. I don't know when I'm going to use that skill again once like phasing out the masks. Yeah. So
my interesting fact, I also think I'm not interesting because I never have anything to say. I guess, since Veronica talked about her sticker obsession, I guess I'll talk about my obsession with learning about monarchies and cults. There's a lot to unpack there, but yeah, I find them really interesting to learn about.
Did you see the TikTok where this guy made like a bunch of celebrities in LA wear like the Scientology?
It was Frankie Jonas.
It was kind of funny.
No way.
Fun fact I learned about the Church of Scientology when I was in that phase was that they like trap people in their theater room. Like they'll just be like, oh, do you want to learn about this? And they like trap them in their theater room at like their headquarters, and they make you like watch videos and stuff.
No, what is this? You know what, where I'm from in Tampa, there's I guess it's a town, it's called Ybor City, like right next to downtown Tampa, and I remember going on this tour and they just had the Scientology like massive building just dedicated to Scientology. I was like, just gonna walk by here a little bit. So
I'm laughing, but it would be kind of scary what they'd be doing.
It's a bit, it's pretty interesting. I mean, like, there's a lot to learn. I mean, cults and monarchies. Just, so
hey, maybe you guys want to hear about that in a further next episode. Let us know.
I'm there to give you guys a history of like almost every monarchy. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But before we go too off topic, let's talk about today's episode. We're going to talk about the Paralympics. So the season just ended, I believe. And it was very exciting. It's very cool to see all of these athletes just go on and do their best. It's always exciting to see competitions for me personally. And so before we get into like the whole discussion, let's talk about what the Paralympics actually is, because we don't want to talk about it without knowing what it is. So the Paralympics is one of the largest or the largest sports competition for athletes with impairment worldwide. And so this includes athletes with about 6 disability groups, and they are amputees, people with cerebral palsy, intellectual disabilities, wheelchair, vision impairment, and quote others. So it just would be anyone who labels themselves as a disabled person or person with a disability. And yeah, and so it's just a really cool opportunity for people with disabilities to be able to join the Olympics and just be a part of something that's so great and so part of our culture. So from here, I'm going to hand it over to Anissa, who's going to talk about the difference between Special Olympics and Paralympics.
So there's basically two like large competitive athletic competitions that happen. And there's the Paralympics, which is like elite performance sport. And then there's the Special Olympics, which is more about the empowerment and acceptance and inclusion of all people, and especially those with disabilities. With the Special Olympics, it was founded in 1968. And it gives children and adults with intellectual disabilities the opportunity to develop physical fitness and experience joy and participate in sharing their skills with their friends and the other athletes in the Special Olympics community. But the Special Olympics differs from the Paralympics in three main ways. The first being that the Special Olympics is solely for athletes with intellectual impairment. And second being that the criteria under which the athletes participate in, the athletes in the Paralympics go through a more rigorous process of having to qualify for the Paralympics. And then third is the structure of the respective organizations. They're run by two different organizations. But yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really cool, Anissa. I think that's awesome that we have both of those types of Olympics alongside the Olympics that everyone else seems to know. But I guess we should go through the history of the Paralympics now. So the first official Paralympics was in Rome, Italy in 1960, and it had 400 athletes from 23 different countries. But before that, they actually introduced the first competition in the London Games in 1948, and the London Olympic Games in 1948. And it's interesting because Paralympics is actually meaning beside or alongside the Olympics. So that's why when the Paralympics originated, it was within the Olympic Games or beside it. And now it's a whole event that stands alone, and it has its own organization. And since the Summer Games of Seoul in 1988 and Albertville, France in 1992, the games have occurred in the same cities because of this agreement between the IPC and IOC. So the International Paralympic Committee and the International Olympic Committee. And now we can go through some of the highlights from this year's Paralympic Games. Some of the more memorable stories, the heartwarming ones. My favorite was definitely the moment when Stuart Jones, a Paralympic cyclist, stopped to cheer on another cyclist who sort of having trouble getting up this hill. And Jones knew that he wasn't going to get a medal. He wanted to, obviously. That's why he was competing. But he realized that this other athlete, his name is Tony Mold, from South Africa with cerebral palsy, he wanted to cheer him on. And he realized that he could put on a smile and make him happy. So he did that. And then it's pretty cool. The other event that happened, significant event, I guess, would be the Afghan swimmer who made it to the Tokyo Paralympics. And it's a very touching story because coming from Afghanistan, the swimmer's name is Avaz Karimi. And he was born without arms. He grew up in Kabul in Afghanistan. He loved swimming and then eventually found that that was his comfort in the harsh country with war. And he sought refuge from it in the pool, essentially. He fled Afghanistan when he was 16, and now 24, he competed in the Paralympics, and he was able to train away from the violence that occurred in his birthplace, and he's just an inspiring story for how we should all strive to be better, but also not to take anything for granted, especially where we're from, and I know we're in the United States and we're safe and secure, but we don't think about a lot of these other things. So I think it's just amazing that he is able to compete in the Paralympics in Tokyo, of all places. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's super interesting, Shota, especially just, I feel like that's the whole part of not just the Paralympics, but the Olympics itself. It's to grow that culture and to inspire people. And really to bring a smile to each other's faces. And I feel like that's a great place for athletes to gain their self-esteem. And I remember one of the quotes that one of my mentors has told me, self-esteem requires not just being satisfied at where you are, but also super excited to get better. And I feel like that person in particular was super excited to get better and to continue training. And I feel like that's just such a heartwarming and inspiring person and role model for everyone else who wants to join in the Paralympics. And that being said, I open the floor for both of you guys saying or asking you guys, does the Paralympics empower disabled people? And what is its role, really? How does it empower people?
One thing that definitely surprises me, not just about like the Paralympics, but also the Olympics, is that like it's the sportsmanship, and that like although they are there to compete, like it's really like people like building friendships and like supporting each other. So I think it does empower people in that way, that they're supporting each other, even though they're from different countries and they probably have different disabilities, that they're all just, you know, all just there for a good time. And I think it's important also for representation wise, like it's people from all different backgrounds, all different colors, all different disabilities. Like that's probably really special to a child with a disability, that's like seeing people like look just like him or look just like them, whatever. Like it's probably really empowering just to see somebody that looks like you and think like, oh wow, like just because I have a disability doesn't mean anything about me. Like I can still be an athlete. I can still do this. Like I think it's really special.
Yeah, totally. I completely agree with that. And especially for the representation part, I know we often don't really think about disabilities as a part of your identity, but it definitely is alongside ethnicity, nationality, race, etc. So if you have a disability, I think it really is powerful to see people on the international stage, people that you don't even know, but you can relate to in some way. You can also feel inspired to try new things for yourself. Even the other, I guess other fields, not just sports, it could happen too. But with the Olympics, or in the Paralympics rather, it's just another, it's like the Olympics is meant to bring the world together. And then the Paralympics, it's like you're bringing even more of the world together. It's like embracing that whole idea, but being more inclusive about it rather than being just ultra competitive and sort of being more of a sort of exclusive club or something like that. I really enjoy learning about the Paralympics and watching it. So, yeah. I actually have a question of my own now. So a lot of people watch the Olympics, but then as soon as that's over, no one talks about the Paralympics, even though it happens essentially right after. So my question is, how much coverage does the Paralympics receive compared to the Olympics? So if you all want to take on that question.
Yeah, I think that's a super interesting point, Shota. And I feel like the Olympics itself definitely receives much more coverage than the Paralympics, which is unfortunate. But like we all heard, for example, in the Olympics, the whole controversy with Sha'Carri Richardson and the entire ideal going on there. But how much did we hear about the controversy with the 2000 Sydney Paralympics with the Spanish team? We didn't hear that much. Just for some background, there were 12 Spanish, for the Spanish team, there were 12 competitors and they were competing in basketball, I believe, and they did get gold. But the thing is, in the Paralympics, you have to be disabled. That's like the whole point. But they didn't have a disability, or they were faking an intellectual disability when none of them actually, or some of them didn't have it. And so they got gold. And it was totally unfair. And there was a whole investigation about it, but not many people know about it. And it's just really unfortunate that there's people who want to take advantage for no reason. And then there isn't much coverage like exposing those types of people rather than it is in the Olympics. And I feel like just the people and the winners and everything, it's so great to see them win and be really happy about their accomplishments, but we only really hear about Olympians like Sunny Lee. So I just feel like there's definitely a shortage of coverage on the Paralympics. And I feel like that's kind of unfair because I feel like it's such a great, great opportunity and just something so great to spread with the rest of the people and to share identity and everything. And so, yeah, I don't know. Anissa, what do you think?
I agree, because this is my first time hearing about the Spanish basketball team. This is the first time hearing about it. And I think
same
the Paralympics
here.
Is like, you actually have to like go seek the like information about the Paralympics. But like with the Olympics, you just turn on like ABC and it's like just there. Like you're on TikTok and it's just there. But I really haven't seen like Paralympic, like anything about the Paralympics.
Yeah. So that being said, I just feel like people with disabilities should just have more coverage. And I feel like if you guys really enjoyed our episode, I feel like you guys would enjoy our episode with Anissa on it as well, and with our guest Maddie. And it's called We're Just Normal People Sitting in Some Chairs. I personally really like that episode, so I feel like you guys should go check it out. Just scroll a little bit more down and you'll find it, promise. And if there's anything you guys want to reference at the end of this podcast episode, I feel like you guys should go look at the Paralympics website, which is paralympic.org, or just looking at, maybe watch the recent season, or just try and see what your favorite Paralympics athlete is. Let us know on our Instagram, TSVPpod. We so want to hear your opinions and what you guys think about that. So that being said, we can totally close out now. And 3, 2, 1, bye! Bye.